You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, beautiful people. I'm your host, James Edwards. This is the Political Cesspool, and it's Saturday night. Well, I know it's Saturday night, but what night is it? Let me get my phone out here and take a look. April the 11th. Yes, indeed, it is a beautiful spring evening here in Memphis, and you are listening to the radio program where the truth is all risen. In perpetual bloom it is on the Political Cesspool. Great to have you tonight as our exclusive coverage of Confederate History Month continues. But we're going to be covering a lot of news in the other 2 hours as well. Of course, in the month of April, we have 1 hour dedicated to Southern history and heritage. And we're going to get to that. And it's going to be a good one tonight. We have been very heavy on guests the last couple of weeks. And it has been a couple of barn burners, I'll tell you. I believe, you know, at least in my opinion, and it may be somewhat biased, but I have enjoyed the last couple of shows as much as any I can remember. Very meaningful to me on a personal level, I guess you could say, especially last week having my pastor on to talk about Easter. Got just a great response from the audience, great feedback to that particular hour, which was our third hour last Saturday night. And then, of course, that very same evening, we had a convergence of the kickoff of Confederate History Month the night before Easter. It all came together and made for what I felt was a special show. Gene Andrews on with us during the second hour. In the first hour, Jared Taylor, fresh back in the States from his trip to Russia, was with us. And then, of course, the week before last, we had Sonny Landham and Ramsey Paul. So that's five, what I thought, very unique guests on the show in 2 weeks. We have another one tonight. You know, Scoop Stanton has been with us for, Keith Alexander in the studio with me. Both Keith and Eddie had the night off last week. They'll be back and are back with us now as we speak. I think Scoop's been with us 8 or 9 years, Keith, and he's never once conducted a one-on-one interview. Well, that's going to happen tonight because Scoop has done the legwork on this, so he deserves to bask and revel in the glory. He has a very interesting guest, if all goes according to plan, and he's going to be doing that interview without any input from yours truly and my man-at-arms, Keith Alexander, in the last segment of this hour. But that will be our only guest this evening. We're going to keep it all in studio, and we've got a lot to cover tonight, so let's get right to it. Now, I'm not going to read this entire thing, but I would like to get Keith's response to it. We have been, as you know, so lucky to receive thousands upon thousands of emails over the years. You know, we've been doing this a decade now and change, a decade and 6 months now, I guess it's been, something like that. And, you know, we're just so blessed to have a robust audience who takes the time to write in cards, emails, letters, you name it. We get them, and they are the wind in our sails. But I got one this week that just really stood out, and it's from a new listener in Nashville, Tennessee, just a couple of hours to the east of us. And this is what he writes. James, I first want to say that I just discovered your show over the last month and have been blown away by how much I love it. I literally scour through the archives and listen pretty much all day at work. And I'm just going to skip down to this second paragraph here. I have a family, and I have two kids that I want brought up in a world where Christianity and morality are virtues that everyone respects. I want them to grow up in a Southland where Dixie is played without shame and without fear. I want them to grow up in a world where their white European heritage is a source of pride for them. I feel really strongly that God pointed me to your show when I was searching for white Christian American males who are sick and tired of the current world. And you can read the rest of his email. I very rarely do this, but I posted the entire thing verbatim, just leaving out his name only, and posted it to thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. But Keith, what stuck out to me in that is that he actually did an internet search, a Google search for white Christian American males who are sick and tired of the current world. And the first thing that came up, and I know this because I conducted the search myself, was an article about the about the Political Cesspool that was posted to CNN.com. And at the end of the day, I think you could say that if we want to be remembered for one thing, it's our love of God, our love of family, our love of the South.
Well, it just shows that what we're doing is consistent and it's necessary. We're not only the hope for the hopeless, James, we're a voice for the voiceless. White Christian Gentiles. That's kind of an oxymoron, but, you know, there are so many white Gentiles who are not Christian nowadays. Their real religion is liberalism. They go with the flow. In fact, unfortunately, a lot of those people are occupying pulpits throughout America now. We've got cowardly, culture-craven people running our churches just like we have them running our schools. We have them running the entertainment industry, everything. You know, they do not want to put their 501c3 status in jeopardy. They do not want to put their collection plate in jeopardy. We say, like Admiral Farragut, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. We're going to continue to give a voice to white Christian Gentiles, and particularly Southerners. We're going to be the people that rush in where angels fear to tread. We've done this. This is our signature audience, and there is such a vast untapped reservoir of people who feel the way we do. We're getting things like this particular email that James read every week.
Well, we get it all the time, and we get it numerous times a day, and we're thankful for each of them. But this guy, you know, a family man, he's in his 30s. He comments about he has a teenage son who is a young conservative as well, and he just hit the nail on the head. Speaking of conservatives, please join us now. The CFCC folks forgot to post this as a reminder on their website, but the chat room is open, and we want you to come in there and join us in our celebration of Confederate history tonight. So go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and there you can link over to the chat room, which is alive and well. We want you to join us there now. But this guy really nailed it. I think if you put these ingredients into a blender, shook them up, the product that would come out is the political cesspool. And that is a love of Christ, love of family, love of our cultural heritage and our history, and a willingness to speak honestly about racial realities and the concerns that we have, the legitimate concerns about radical Jewish power and influence. You put all that in, you stir it up, you get the political cesspool, and people are coming to it every day. I am firmly convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that this thing is not over yet, not because we got a great email this week, but I just have hope. I've always been a glasses-half-full type of guy. This thing is not over yet. And you know why it's not over? Because everything that the left does, all of their lies, this so-called progress that we've got where Christians are put into the closet and homosexuality, this is just one example, is something to be lauded. Now, you know, all that is so obviously wrong, is built on shifting sand. It can all fall away in a minute. And this show, if and when that day comes, this show will have played a major role in that.
And we are the bedrock. We are the one voice in the mainstream media that gives expression to the heart and soul of Middle America, of Red State America. This is the place. This is why, on a shoestring budget, we're always almost invariably in the top 10 in terms of internet traffic during our time slot every week, week in, week out. We're filling a need. We're doing the work that other Americans won't do, or that the mainstream tries to keep suppressed. We've been able to break through. We realize it's a small niche, but that's why your support for our show is so vital, so absolutely necessary, because we can't let this little candle go out, folks.
Well, it's not. And this flicker will turn into a blaze. And, folks, you all share in that. And we're excited about it. We're excited about it every Saturday night, every week, for 10 years and going now, and going strong. We're going to continue tonight. We got a lot to cover. Enough good news. Let's get into the cesspool. We'll do it right after this. We'll see what Keith's brought in with the mail today. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, Keith covered actually a lot in his commentary in the opening segment that dovetails into things we'll either be talking about tonight or talked about last week or we'll be talking about in future programs. One of them is what my pastor calls, you know, my pastor stayed in the studio with me until 11 o'clock last week. We stayed 2 hours after the show just talking about things. And as I mentioned, he got just a great response from the audience. And not that we do this in terms of, you know, polls of public opinion. We always do what we think is right and what we feel as though should be done. But pastor calls it counterfeit Christianity. And he says, you know, half the churches in Memphis, if not more, are counterfeit Christians. And we're going to have him on more frequently, maybe once a month, you know, for a segment or two each month to, you know, kind of keep us plugged in to the evangelical community. And that's going to be something forthcoming. Second hour tonight, Confederate History Month. Third hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be here. But first, the blossoms of love in the political cesspool chat room. I have never seen people in such a good mood, except for perhaps at our 10-year anniversary event. But everybody's just in such a good disposition in the TPC chat tonight. And we want you to join us, ladies and gentlemen. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and click over into the chat room, hosted by our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens. There tonight is a listener all the way from Scotland, Robert, in our ancestral homelands, Keith. Well, I guess you're English. But
well, he'll have to put on his chit-chat hat. Well, we are Scots-Irish,
which is
Lowland Scots. At least I am. I'm half Scots-Irish, half English.
I'm an Edwards and a McGregor hybrid, so that's okay. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I think the Alexanders are part of the Stuart clan somehow. I don't know exactly how that dovetails and works, but I've been told that before, and I guess there's plausible deniability to it. I'll believe it until somebody disproves it.
Hey, we're all family now. Now, we celebrate, Confederate History Month, and God knows I wish we would have won that one.
I'll tell you what we are, and for our Scots listener, let me just say, I have English relatives, so I know what the dynamic is, the class dynamic. It's the exact opposite for what it is in the United States. In the United States, the further north you are, the more of a cosmopolitan person, or the closer to New York City you are, or on the other coast, Los Angeles, then the more of a cosmopolitan, intelligent person you're supposed to be. And the further you get into the old Confederacy, or into Middle America, what Jerry Lewis, the Jewish comedian, used to call the Great American Desert or flyover country, well, then you are a rube, a hick, and a fool, okay? Well, in England, the closer you are to London, the more cosmopolitan you are, and the further you get out towards the hinterlands like Wales, Cornwall, Ireland, Scotland, even northern England. You know, they make fun, at least when I was a child and went over there, they used to make fun of people with a Lancashire accent or a Yorkshire accent, like they were some type of hicks. And quite frankly, you have to have a really trained ear to be able to tell the difference. But people in England, at least back in the 50s and 60s when I was going over there, did that. So I know what's going on. Basically, Celtic people, for the most part, were the people at the hinterlands. I remember when Dr. Johnson said, the noblest prospect a Scotsman ever sees is a high road leading to London or leading to England. Well, you know, we don't believe that. I've been there, and I can tell you the best people are the people that are in the margins of the British Isles. So welcome to the show, all good Scotsmen, Irishmen, and Welshmen, men from Cornwall. And you found your spiritual home here, I hope, because we are descended from you.
That's absolutely right, which is one of the reasons we celebrate this. And as I say, we celebrate Confederate History Month, certainly because that's who we are here in Memphis, who we are as Southerners. But we cannot have any more divisions between white kinsmen, because certainly we've done that enough throughout our history, fighting one another almost to the point of extinction.
World War One was so tragic.
World War One, World War Two, you know, but here's the thing. I think
World War Two is just the inevitable conclusion of World War One.
But listen to this. And I think, what, 1 million, 2 million people died at the Battle of Stalingrad alone, Russians and Germans? I mean, imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. But more Americans died in Lincoln's War than died in World War One, World War Two, Korea, and Vietnam combined. I mean,
think about that.
More Americans, right.
Yeah. See, in World War One, French women developed after World War One this reputation for promiscuity, sexual promiscuity. Well, the reason was 4 out of 5 French men between the ages of 18 to 25 were killed in the First World War. You had a war in which tactics had not kept pace with the advances in the killing power of war weaponry. So it was just a killing field, a slaughter, World War One, even more so than World War Two. And it was, unfortunately, our intrusion into World War One that led directly to World War Two. And the great villain of World War One and Two was not Adolf Hitler, was not the Kaiser, was not whoever, Rasputin, whatever. The real villain was Winston Churchill, a politically ambitious man who was willing to sacrifice his countrymen. And he saw war as a great way to leapfrog opponents and to get to the pinnacle of power.
Well, be that as it may, we can have no more wars that pit brother against brother, cousin against cousin, as all of these wars did, and they happened far too often. And now we are really feeling the pinch from that genocide that we inflicted upon one another, being pulled by the strings of the Wizard of Oz, I guess. But... Well, so Keith gave me this newspaper article during the last commercial break, and then we were going to go right into it at the top of this segment. And here we are with maybe a minute remaining.
Swept out by a reptile.
Haven't even touched it yet. That sometimes is the way it goes here in the political cesspool. But I'll read it as quickly as I can, and if we don't give Keith time to offer his scintillating commentary, this segment will bleed it over to the next. But the article headline is Foreign Blacks on the Rise, Immigrants and Diversity. This is from the Friday, April 10th edition of the local Memphis Daily, The Commercial Appeal. Rapidly growing numbers of black immigrants have reshaped the overall black population in the United States in recent decades, particularly in Washington and other cities with large U.S.-born African-American communities, a new report says. A record 3.8 million foreign-born blacks now live in the United States, the Pew Research Center reported Thursday. The influx means that the share of foreign-born blacks, largely from Africa and the Caribbean, has grown from 3.1% of the black population in 1980 to 8.7% in 2013. The report highlights the degree to which the U.S. black population is less homogeneous than in previous generations, But a rapidly growing proportion of foreign-born blacks who arrived in the United States in recent years come from Africa, led almost entirely by immigrants from sub-Saharan Africa. The report says, the best of the best, in other words, Keith. About 8% of black immigrants came from South or Central America. All right, so why did I read that?
Well, we read this because it provokes thought. For example, I've noticed that Red State America has always been under the heel of Blue State America. That's what led to the Civil War, and that is what led to the Civil Rights Movement and the fact that we had this relentless tidal wave of liberalism sweeping over us, and we don't seem to be able to do anything about it. The reason is the North, particularly the Northeast, has always been the locus of immigrants. There was no Ellis Island in New Orleans or in Charleston or in Houston or wherever in, you know, the big cities in Red State America. Instead, it's always been, or the Red State America, it's always been in the North. And as a result, that's where they got extra people to outgun us at both in wars and in the at the voting booth. That is probably the reason why. And as you see, there is now, over the past 10 years, a concerted effort by liberals, by the leftist elite, to pump these people in from sub-Saharan Africa. That's where most of these 3.8 million came from. We'll pick back up with this after these words from our sponsors.
The land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us. TheAmericanFreedomParty.us. Once again, TheAmericanFreedomParty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, so Keith brought in this article. Oh, and by the way, before we get back on top of this, don't forget that in just a few minutes' time, we are going to be having an experiment the likes of which we have never conducted before in our laboratory slash studio here. In Memphis, it is going to be Peter Scoop Stanton for the first time conducting a one-on-one interview with a guest who has never before appeared on the Political Cesspool. So we got Scoop doing his first solo interview with a guest making his debut appearance. So how's that going to go? Well, we're going to wait and see, but I think it's going to go great because I tell you one thing about Scoop. He does his homework, and he wrote the questions for this particular interview a few days ago, sent them to me.
With a crayon.
You wrote him with the crown, that's right. But no, I think it's going to go great. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a novelty for Keith and I to just sit back and listen to this as it happens. And so,
well,
it's hard to work.
With that build-up, I thought you were going to tell me we're going to have an interview with a dead man or something from beyond the pale. But I'm trying to figure out what we hadn't done before.
Yeah, I can think of a few dead men I'd like to interview. But no, nevertheless, very interesting guest, unique guest, if all goes according to plan. So we'll see what happens here in a few minutes' time. It's live radio.
It is.
Could be a disaster. Could be the best thing ever. We're going to find out. Or somewhere in between. But anyway, Keith, you gave me this article about sub-Saharan Africans now coming in. They're calling them foreign blacks in the newspaper.
Well,
we want some sub-Saharan Africans to come in, and we want the most discriminated Southern Africans to come in, and they are among the most discriminated people in all of the world. Why don't you tell us about it, Keith?
Well, they're the genocided white people of the former Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe, and South Africa, particularly the Afrikaners. They seem to have been particular targets of the anti-apartheid movement, and unlike Elana Mercer and other Jewish people whose family actually brought on the calamity and the catastrophe called the current government of South Africa.
Hey, you just can't, if we talk about South Africa, you can't give Elana a pass for calling you the negative image of Al Sharpton. You always got to bring her name. And Bill and Roland and I got along with her.
Well, I know, but the problem is we've got to call out these people. We've got to name them and shame them. And quite frankly, Jewish power and influence worked to promote the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, just like it worked and was the secret ingredient behind the success of the civil rights movement here in the United States
of America.
And to
your credit, all you did was ask her about that, I believe.
Yeah, that's all I did. But basically, you could tell that I had kicked over a log in her forest that she didn't want rolled over.
If people weren't listening to the show 5 years ago when that interview occurred, I don't guess they'll know what we're talking about or whenever it was.
But anyway, this is what is happening. See, the people, the white Gentiles of South Africa, one of the first steps taken by the world community to try to make the apartheid government of South Africa knuckle under was to revoke Commonwealth status. So consequently, when the other shoe dropped and the anti-apartheid government came in, these people had nowhere to go. Elana Mercer and her family saw what a catastrophe their advocacy for anti-apartheid resulted in, and they hopped the next flight to Tel Aviv, which of course Jews throughout the world can do. If they despoil the United States, they can all catch the next flight to Tel Aviv. If they despoil any other part of the world, Australia, whatever, the Jews there, who will be in the thick of things for trying to foment liberal change, can do that. Well, these people are living in wretched conditions. And quite frankly, we need to consider the possibility of tearing another page out of the left's playbook and bringing these immigrants into these people into the United States as immigrants, into Europe as immigrants. Everybody put on your thinking caps and consider that, because quite frankly, we have two great templates. When people ask us, you know, you talk a lot, but what you going to do about it? We have a friend named Bill who's always asking us, what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? Well, there's a great answer to that. There are two things you can do about it. We have two great templates for positive change. One is, what did our ancestors do about it and do that? And the other thing is, if you want to change the status quo, look back and say, what did the left do about it when they were the minority or when they were in the, a small group trying to take on society? Well, you see now that the left is pumping in black sub-Saharan African immigrants into the United States purposefully to change our society, not to save them, but to change our society. Well, we need to do the same thing, or at least consider doing it, with the truly oppressed refugees of South Africa and Zimbabwe, people who are, according to Genocide Watch organizations, are really, truly, and these are left-wing organizations, by the way, they acknowledge that these people are probably as vulnerable and the most likely candidates of genocide of any group of people in the world right now. And they're the people that, one, it would be wonderful for them to get away, and two, it would be wonderful for our nations to get these type of people, racially aware whites, into our nation.
Keith, you caught me with my pants down. Not literally, but I was...
That's not a good visual here.
I was partaking in the chat room with our listeners there, and wasn't expecting you to stop and have me chime in.
But James does have his pants
on.
Yeah, I
do. Hey, now, there was one time where I think we pretty much stripped down to our skivvies WLRM, back when the air conditioner went out, one of those oppressive summers, I believe it was 05 or 06, and we were there.
When it got over 110, we decided we had to take drastic steps.
Well, at the time, that station was in a tin box, literally. It was in, what is that made out of?
I don't know, but it was kind of like a barbecuing meat.
I felt like I was on a rotisserie, and we were just sweating through our clothes. The air was out. You're in this metal tin building. And, we were pretty much down to as little as we could.
Our small clothes, as they used to say.
Our small clothes. Anyway, I'm totally off base
this
now.
This just shows you the type of sacrifices we endure in order to bring the show to you.
Kind of like the post office, where there's the what do they say? What's their motto?
They say, the wind and storm and snow and hail and...
Any adverse condition, we brave it.
The mail must go through, and the show
Eddie
must go on.
Ran off the road in a patch of ice a couple of weeks ago trying to get here, but right before spring set in. So, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, we're here. We stay lit for you, ladies and gentlemen. And I guess I've treaded enough water. But nevertheless, an important article that you brought in, Keith.
It really shows what the left
diversity
is
our greatest strength.
See, you have to be able to read between the lines. And one thing that I am convinced of is that liberalism could not have triumphed without the advent of mass media, without radio and television, things like that. They could not mold public opinion. Public opinion did not change a lot. It's changed more in the last 100 years than it did in the previous 2,000 years, I think. And the reason it has changed is because mass media allows a minority viewpoint to appear to be the majority viewpoint, and vice versa. A majority viewpoint is, put back on its heels as if it's the minority position, and there is no liberal, radical, egalitarian program that brings this into sharper focus than homosexual rights and gay marriage.
We're going to talk about this in the third hour when Eddie's here, but my God, how disgusting to see Arkansas, especially, even more so than Indiana. Arkansas, you have supposedly this conservative,
red state
Christian,
bastion.
Red state
bastion.
Government, from the governor to the House of Representatives, the state house, and they just rolled over after, 5 days of resistance? I mean, how despicable.
Well,
they
Asa Hutchinson showed, I saw him, and I've never seen a weaker specimen in my life. He apparently gets jawboned out of his position by his minor son, adding his name to some type of a petition that was presented to the governor. That's his excuse. If we have a guy who is so half-baked that his minor son can come up with a half-baked teenage notion and knock him off of his position, heaven help us. See, what happens is the political class and a large group in the business class are scared to death of being at odds with the culture. They're not at odds with the culture. We've had 31 states have referendums on gay marriage. 31 have turned it down.
Yeah, but hey, but white Christians aren't the kind of people that set the trends in this society
anymore.
Well,
you know, who owns the 8 major movie studios? Who owns the networks? This is the people who owns the newspaper syndicates. These are the people, and we'll name them in a moment.
And to their credit, I must be fair. To their credit, I mean, the vast majority of black Americans are with us on the homosexual issue.
Well, that's the whole reason it lost in California. They brought it up in 2008 when Obama's first run at the presidency was occurring, put it on the ballot there, and black people were drawn to the polls in record numbers. And when they came there and saw that they had a referendum about gay marriage, they torpedoed it, much to the chagrin of the left.
Hey, folks, when we come back, we're just getting started tonight. The second and third hours are going to be incredible, as I hope will this next segment with a Scoop Stanton and a mystery guest. We'll find out all about it. I'm excited to see how this is going to turn out. We'll find out. Keith and I are going to find out with the rest of you right after this.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, as we said before the last commercial break, I will not be participating in this interview, and yet here I am here at the top of this segment. We are waiting to get in touch with Scoop's guest, and once that event occurs, I will be quiet, and Keith will be quiet, and we'll see what happens. But we do have Scoop here as we're waiting for his guest. So, Scoop, now we booked this guy. I mean, he's solid.
Right, we did, and I spoke to his people, and they said, they were good to go. I don't know what happened. Act of God, act of sabotage, maybe SPLC came in. But, however, I'm still not coming to the show empty-handed. Of course, since this is live radio, and we've had more than one guest pull at the last second because they found out who we are, and they couldn't take the heat and had out of Dodge. So, without further ado, I'd like to do, Scoop's report.
Hit me with it. See, now this is a true pro right here, Scoop Stanton. Prepared for any contingency, as you have to be in live radio.
Right. Now, good evening, Seth Bull family. As you know, the biggest thing since 9/11 was the shooting of one Walter Scott. In case you just got crawled out from a rock, North Charleston, South Carolina police officer Michael Slager conducted a traffic stop for a broken taillight driven by Mr. Scott. Scott took off from the traffic stop allegedly because he owed child support, a jailable offense in South Carolina. According to eyewitnesses, after Scott gave chase, he got a struggle with Officer Slager, grabbing his weapon, grabbing a taser, which is a non-lethal weapon. It hurts like a dickens, but it's not going to kill you. Then, as Mr. Scott headed for the hills, Officer Slager decided to pull out his weapon, firing 8 times, striking Scott 5 times, and killing him on the scene. Now, in South Carolina law, resisting arrest is only a misdemeanor, thus deadly force is not justified. Now, with that being said, do I condone Officer Slager's actions? Absolutely not. But this is the media's Christmas, because you have a white police officer, an unarmed black man who was shot in the back on video. This is the left's dream come true. This was a bleep story on the evening news, all the news channels, and the news networks. The only thing missing from it is the money shot where Officer Slager is dropping the N-word. Now, and then today was Mr. Scott's funeral. And, of course, MSNBC was all over it like wine on rice. Needless to say, MSNBC was not at Officer Lou's funeral, Officer Ramos's funeral, or many of the other officers we mentioned in the past month. But this being said, unfortunately, Officer Slager gave ammunition for the war on the police. So, Mr. Slager, thanks a lot. In the meantime, the Constitution says we need to have swift justice. And no time at all, Officer Slager was fired, he was arrested, he was charged, and he was held without bond. Presumption of innocence, or the idea of innocence before proven guilty. Back to you in the studio, James.
Well, this case, interestingly, and I think everybody knows what we're talking about now, is obviously another white cop and a black assailant, and he shot him in the back, and it didn't look, according to this video, that there was any immediate life-threatening danger from the black fella. Now, this guy might have been a ne'er-do-well. He was a deadbeat on his child support. Imagine that. But obviously, it appears as though that this white cop was entirely in the wrong. But this isn't getting the kind of reaction from the black community that the previous incidents did.
What did Chris Rock say on that video that we have about how to avoid getting your ass kicked by the police that you can access on YouTube? It says, Rodney King wouldn't have gotten his ass kicked if he hadn't run from the police. If the police have to run and catch you, there's an ass kicking away at the end of it. So consequently, black people know that it is not wise, at least most black people know, most white people know, most people of any ethnic or racial variety know that it's not a good idea to, one, steal a weapon, which is what a taser is. And a taser can be fatal if you have a heart condition or you have other problems that you're suffering from. What was a big fat guy that they've had so many bites at the apple now the left has. I've lost count of the episodes since Trayvon Martin that they've tried to turn into the perfect storm.
Yeah, but they got it this time because
well,
this guy
they think
gave it
they
to
have
him.
It this time. But on the other hand, you know, they just don't get the reaction. But you see, the media makes it seem they make, you know, they make fantasy seem to be reality. Their fantasy is that the majority of Americans and even the majority of black people are all stirred up and ready to riot over this. And as Gershwin had Porgy and Bess say in the play by the same name or the musical by the same name, it ain't necessarily so.
But unless this video footage was severely doctored, it's hard to justify using deadly force in this case.
I'm surprised they didn't put in him dropping that N-bomb the Scoop was talking
well,
about.
Well, unless it was doctored, you got to say, based upon what we can see, that this guy did not have the right to use deadly force. Yes, the guy, whatever, I agree with that. But, and we also should remember, though, to be fair, innocent until proven guilty. And he has not been proven guilty in a court of law, so we'll wait to see what happens. But, you know, for playing...
Well, you know, Zimmerman was absolutely guilty until the verdict came in.
Well, that's
and
true.
Same, you know, and of course, the Eric Garner situation, or the Michael Brown situation, excuse me, you know, everybody, you know, the media was just... setting it up for us, you know, that this is going to come down hard, that, you know, there's going to be a trial and a conviction of the killer of Michael Brown. Well, it didn't happen. Every time, we've got to understand that the media is under the control of our ideological enemies, the left, and they are always going to overplay their hand. They're always going to say that something happened or is going to happen a certain way, and people that are dumb enough to listen to the talking heads at MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, whatnot, get the disappointment that they are due if they rush to judgment on these things based on what the mainstream media typically says about them.
Well, I'm glad that Scoop had this in his back pocket because this is certainly a topic that the political cesspool should weigh in on, and he had this waiting in the wings should it be needed to be played, and it was. So, Scoop, back to you. I mean, your thoughts on this. I mean, you pretty much laid out the facts of the case and what we know about it via the regurgitation from the establishment press. What do you think about it?
Well, like I said before, this is the media's Christmas with a gigantic bow on top of it. And but here's another thing that nobody's mentioned. Well, one other talk show host, the people were coming into North Charleston screaming "Black Lives Matter, no justice, no peace. We want this, we want that." And the guy has already been fired. He's been arrested. He's sitting in jail without bond, and he's been charged with first degree murder. The only thing they haven't done was just put hang a noose around a tree and hang the guy. I mean, what else do you want? But to
that's very it's the, great the, that you mentioned that, Scoop, because that's exactly what they want.
Right. But like I was trying to say before, Mr. Scott's family told Al Sharpton, go take a long walk off a short pier, because they lost their son, and they knew Al Sharpton was going to come in, start fanning the flames, pouring gasoline onto that fire, and walking away and watch North Charleston turn into the Ferguson. But that didn't happen. I mean, I'm sure Al Sharpton is crying crocodile tears because
it's
money out of his pocket.
Well, nevertheless, North Charleston has the same kind of demographics as Ferguson, so it is a powder keg waiting to ignite. But even though, and I give the family credit for that, for turning him down, but he's still in North Charleston this weekend preaching, quote-unquote, at another church, not related to the family, but he's there, and he's doing his bit, as always.
Right. But anyways, I got let's change gears real quick. I got some good news. Ann Arbor, Michigan. The University of Michigan is now my favorite college football team. Not because it's Charlie LaDuff's alma mater and he did a hysterical story on Coach Harbaugh, but the university was not going to show American Sniper. Coach Harbaugh says, you know what? If the school's not going to show it, my football players are going to watch American Snipers. So being that the power of Jim Harbaugh, which is, next to the power of God, the university decided to show American Sniper. So henceforth, this person who really could give a hoot about college football is rooting for Big Blue, and I know that's not music to Keith's ears.
Well, I'll tell you this. I like Harbaugh's demeanor, and I liked the way he conducted himself in San Francisco as coach of the 49ers in the NFL. He got a bum deal in getting fired last year. I mean, he had led them to, what, three straight NFC Championship games before last season, and then he gets fired. I mean, that's
preposterous. I think we're seeing now why he was fired from San Francisco's team, because he's not a typical standard issue San Francisco liberal, which is, quite frankly, they're going to be hard-pressed to find that person among the coaching staffs of NFL teams.
Great work tonight, Scoop, as always. We appreciate you bringing forth that very interesting topic with what happened in Charleston. We'll talk to you next week, my brother. We'll be back with Confederate History Month right after this.
Bye.
You got it.
Political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.